Nice to meet you, Amba.
Yes, thank you. Nice to meet you too. Very nice to be here. And so I don't know. I don't really, my partner was just kind of laughing at me earlier because I was on the beach with him and a friend. We're visiting like a different country. We're just in England visiting a friend. And I said, yeah, so I'm meeting Suzanne Marie later and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. And then, I don't know, I think the conversation went off on a different topic or something. But then we ended up talking about, you know, this kind of idea where, you know, when people come to spirituality, maybe at first, we're kind of, we think we're seeking something. So we think we're seeking our true self or our true nature. And that's like often talked about as like going up the mountain. And then it's like you kind of have to at some point, I think I read some quote of yours recently and it was something like that. It was like you have to kind of come back down the mountain again at some point and like kind of include all of life, you know, because at a certain point when you're trying to discover your true nature, maybe it's like, okay, I'm not that. And we kind of lose interest in, well, not maybe not everybody, but like we kind of tend to lose interest in the world and everything. So then it kind of came to that. It's like, oh yeah, maybe I can talk with Suzanne Marie about something like that, because I remember she posted a quote about that. And then Dizan was laughing at me because pretty much every podcast I have, I think that's the exploration, is kind of like maybe like dispelling ideas in within spirituality around like just kind of like everyday life. And, you know, what it means to just live everyday life, but living it from our heart as opposed to our mind. Or, I mean, there could be other ways of putting that, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. So this is an exploration for you, obviously, right?
It must be, yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful. It's a great exploration. I think it's the other 50% of spirituality.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first half is trying to remember who we are, you know, free of being lost in Maya, lost in the content of life.
Yeah.
Right? So we meditate and we do spiritual practices, if that's what draws people, and try to find a place that's still inside and rest within more and more, go within. Draw the energy back from being lost in content and quiet down. So, and then once we have a taste of our being more and more and are able to, I guess at first just stay there, then then life starts to enter and says, okay, let's include some of this other stuff that you had to kind of go back off from, you know, back away from. Let's start to include it and see how you do when you add, say, some of the sadness that is still living inside, you know, or some of the parenting that one has gotten that hasn't been resolved, or or even things from the outside, you know, the difficulties of life, the hardship and suffering that one sees, and, you know.
I think that's a really beautiful way of putting how you put it, like to include like these things, like sadness and all these things. And I don't know what you would say about, you know, because when I was talking with my friend today, that idea, and I think it comes up a lot, the idea that if those things are there, like sadness or any kind of conditioning, you know, like you said, like from our how we've been brought up or any of these kind of things, that it means something. It means that we're not really awake or something. And therefore, I'm putting myself in a position of something I'm not again, really, because, of course, we don't really have to seek for ourselves because we are ourselves. So you're putting yourself in a position of a seeker if you're kind of believing that you still have to reach somewhere or something.
Right.
I don't know if it's like
right.
that. But.
Well, it's not a stable understanding. If you know, if one realizes that you are this you know, they're different words. I just like to switch words around, of course. You know, so that because people resonate with different words, you know, when you're able to rest in your being, that's like undivided and free of the personal self. It's just a being that always has been since you were little and will be with you your whole life until your dying breath. It's the being that we share, you know, we share the same. It's not my being is different than your being at its core, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So once that's been really open to, and I, you know, and that, I think that's the goal at first, right? Is to
be able
to touch on that and then to have it be abiding. So it's always there. Then all the stuff that we kind of, like I said, move away from in order to establish that, it comes up because it's also, you know, oneness is oneness. It wants to be included. It's not like being is the only truth. How could that be true?
Yeah.
Everything that's in existence is that. It's the divine. It's God. Everything in existence, even the things we don't like. So that's a more mature, you know, kind of passageway for, you know, a human being is going, okay, sadness, here it is does this settled feeling of being, this knowing, does it go anywhere when I allow myself to include sadness? Does it really go anywhere? And when I include sadness, what happens with sadness? It's not just like, oh, I want it to go away, I want it to transmute, but what is it really? Well, it has quality to it, you know, it's maybe a little song, a song of melancholia or something. And it's God, you know, singing a song of melancholia. We're the ones that have told ourselves a story that this is, you know, not spiritual or whatever. I think we just, we project onto spirituality that which is just difficult in general to process.
Yeah.
So, you know, sadness prior to, you know, being a spiritual seeker and getting a lot of teachings, sadness has been difficult to integrate in general since we were little, mainly because we weren't taught how. So we create this dichotomy, we create a separation within ourselves, you know, of what is acceptable feeling. These are the good feelings on one side of this equation, and on the other side are the feelings that are bad, right? That's what we've done. That's what we've been taught. So then when we go into becoming more spiritually aware, we tend to be drawn to the spiritual traditions and teachings, and there's nothing wrong with it, that say all that is the garbage can. You know, that, you know, that's the those are the things that are not you. Those are the things that are,
that take you exactly.
And in the beginning, in a way, it's kind of true. You know, we need to find a base of that which is free of everything. Right? But then later, as you come down the mountain and you go, well, you know, welcome, you open the door, welcome. I am, my freedom is not contingent on anything. My freedom is. Freedom is. So welcome sadness and welcome all the things that we used to be afraid of, basically.
And would you say like that there isn't really a goal, at all? There's not a goal to like let the sadness or encourage even the sadness to go away or anything. Like maybe that happens within consciousness or something, that it wants to experience itself without pain, maybe. I don't even know if it is, but like I don't feel like there's a goal that it has to do this, but just like when you're speaking, it kind of feels like really when you're very clear in yourself that being is here and this is what I am, in a way. This is kind of what I am. And I know it's not going anywhere. Then it gives you the maybe like fearlessness to look towards what we were afraid really to look towards before, like sadness or anything else that we've labeled like bad or something. But it's more just like when you're speaking, it sounds more like just like as a kind of a curiosity, because we kind of become something in us maybe knows a little bit more clearly that really everything is us. So it's okay to look at it, you know, it's like you don't have to run away from it or something. So it's like, okay, I'll just see. Okay, like you when you were talking, it's like you're kind of asking it questions like, what does it look like? Which way is it moving? What's it doing? But it's not because we want to feel perfect peace or something, even. Because I feel like that's an idea that's there somehow, like, or at least like people, it comes in my world. Maybe it lives here, I don't know. But like that there's something that's looking to experience like that perfect kind of spaciousness that can be felt sometimes when you're recognizing your being, that somehow that should be here all the time or something. But I feel like that's not really true. I don't know. What do you
think? Yeah. Well, that is maturation. Our being in the end isn't a state of consciousness, right? So it's not going to have a quality. At first, it kind of has quality so that we're drawn to it like a little moth, you know, to the flame. Yeah. And it has a feeling of bliss or a feeling of space, or it's hooked up to our sensory body to, it's meant to, so that we know which way to go, like we're a dog with following a scent.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a beautiful thing, to be able to sense and feel what freedom feels like within yourself, within you, what presence feels like. Maybe dancing particles of light, that's what I used to feel at one level. Mm-hmm. Or warm bliss, like, you know, just different qualities of being as it goes through the body. Maybe in the mind space, it felt like dancing particles of light. Maybe in the heart, it felt like warm, yummy love, you know? You know, it had different qualities based on different parts of us, because it's amazing, the Shakti, the life force energy as it flows through the body, that when it's free and kind of purified, I guess, enough to flow, you can feel it. We're meant to feel it. But we're not meant to, in the end, be addicted to that and imagine that only when we feel that way, or different types of being energetically and different types of sensations, that's when we're in truth. That's where people start to get maybe hooked, you know, and hung up on, you know. It's like, oh, where did it go? If it's not here, that means I'm out of the flow or whatever.
Yeah.
And when sadness comes or any kind of difficult things, and if it kind of disrupts that feeling, that just means that there is an imagination going on, that when we're feeling a certain way, that means that truth is here.
Yeah.
And it's asking for more inclusive, larger understanding of what truth is. Truth is inclusive.
Yeah.
So then it's asking us to grow up and say, okay, make the circle around yourself bigger and start to include different things and see what truth really is. Is it only tied to a feeling or to a state?
It's a very beautiful way of wording that you're putting. And maybe it's like that, like it's like the exploration of your true nature, you know, maybe starts in a certain point, and then you said like it moves out a bit to include a bit more, and maybe that can continue. I don't know, how do you find that? Maybe that can continue again, like there's always more to include. Like,
you got it. So you keep growing the bubble around oneself and pushing the ceiling So you can move more and more. Eventually, all of life is what you know to be yourself as.
Yeah. And do you feel like that's the same thing, or like just a different way of saying that we're kind of letting go of ideas more and more and more? It's just another way of saying the same thing. So somebody, you know, who's maybe sharing satsang might just say like, drop ideas, drop ideas. But I think we have so many ideas that we don't even know we have, you know, in a way that like they kind of appear in very subtle ways. And we often don't really even recognize that we're believing an idea somehow. And so in a way, like I don't know if this is really true, but I'm just saying, because it's gone. Our experience of truth or something, how can you say, maybe our experience of truth kind of expands like that to include more things, as our, the only way that can happen is more and more ideas are dropping.
Yeah. Yes, but it's not just a mind thing, okay?
Yeah.
What you're saying is true. Mm-hmm. But our ideas are dropping, and our body mind is integrating this expanding ability to include more.
Yeah.
So the body has to be on board with it, and the emotions have, you know, all of it, the psyche, all of it is part of that, is made of God. So it grows with an awareness, not just of the mind, with ideas and beliefs. But it's growing with this capacity to sense also, and to be free within, like to have space within to include more. And it happens through exploration, but it also happens organically, you know?
Yeah. And I wonder, at the moment in your experience of life, let's say, is there any kind of theme or something that's shown up that you're exploring yourself?
A theme.
Yeah.
Let me see here. You know, the body is still like kind of an endless, not just my body, but just the body of the whole, you know. It's kind of like the opening to welcoming life as it is, you know, challenges as they arise, physical and otherwise. It's not a challenge to do it. It's more like learning is continuing. So how to include, well, just by opening to it. And so there's enough understanding now how to open, but it doesn't stop. Learning doesn't stop. So, you know, so the body's aging, all bodies age. So there's the opening to that. There's the opening to witnessing the aging process with my mother, who I was in care for 3 months recently. It's an everyday kind of nuanced thing of what kind of information may be coming in. And I don't go looking for information on with the news or anything, but if it comes in, like just including the fact that humanity as a whole is in crisis, and it shows up on the planet because it's reflected on within Mother Earth too. The planetary crisis. So these kinds of things, it's like this growing edge is continually kind of being invited to open to how much can one include and not turn away from, not in an addictive kind of way, but more because one is still here in a body. So it's almost like an asking from life itself. How much can an awakened state of consciousness continue to open to different aspects of life? So that's like evolutionary. It wants to be able to be and penetrate all of reality, you know, without shielding and hiding and or making a huge big story about it. So I think there's always a growing edge for anybody.
And I don't know, like, how would you include new things that are shown up, like things that appear in the world and things like that? Like, when I hear it, I feel like it's about, you know, I think there's probably a million different ways, but I feel like it's about, like, allowing ourselves to have the experience, you know, like, so maybe noticing if there's a resistance in the body and just maybe allowing ourselves to feel it as much as we can.
Right.
Or something like that. But I mean, there could be different ways. And I notice sometimes it's not always, like, it's easy to say that, but I notice within myself, it's not always easy for that to happen, even if the mind might kind of want it and know, like, that this is what needs to happen. But sometimes it, you can't really make it happen either. You just kind of notice if it does or if it doesn't or something. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, you know, if you had somebody turning your face with their hand towards a real something, you know, and you just, maybe the body, mind, or psyche is not ready for it. You know, it's not something that can be forced. At the same time, we don't want to be wimps, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a kitty cat in the sun, you know. We're meant to explore and continue to grow. It's God, it's that, you know, it's divine growing. And that's what this whole thing's about anyway. The whole experiment of this world is evolution, you know, learning, growth. So it continually propels towards what's this, with curiosity, as you said, you know, what's going on here? Forcing something, but at the same time, you know, it's just a continuous process of exploration, I guess. And welcoming it, you know, even welcoming the times when we don't want to, when we're not up for it, you know, and self permission to just take a break or have a nice rest. And we have to. We're also meant to just rest and be, integrate. But then, before too long, there tends to be a, like, some curiosity will come up about what's next. I think that's the nature of being here.
Yeah. Something's going, like, I read one time, or maybe I heard you talking. I've heard you having a maybe interview or a talk with Adyashanti, I think, maybe something like that. No. And you said something like the me dropped away or something like that. Like the sense of a me dropped away. And then sometimes when I'm talking to people, that kind of idea comes up where they're kind of really wanting to live from their heart, you know, and live from the truth. But then they say, but, like, I'm not sure, like, I'm so confused if it's coming from, like, identity or not. And then sometimes also I feel like, just within myself, I can feel like I kind of know all the satsang teachings, you know, they could probably come out of this mouth as well, and I can feel them also. But I can also see that, like, identity can come and go. You know, like, in one moment, maybe there's doesn't seem to be identity. And then in another moment, there can seem to be identity with a certain thing that arises or something. So I don't know exactly what the question is. Yeah. But if you wanted to say something about that, like, I don't know, that said, like, about, like, so what I think of as a me would be, like, identity, like identifying as a body. And of course, it's not only, like you said already, it's not only a mind thing. Like, I feel like it has to be a lived experience as well. So I don't know if you wanted to share something about that. I don't know what exactly.
Yeah. Well, one thing I want to say is that, you know, identity lives in the body too. It's not just a mind thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So the body, you know, learns from a very young age that separate self sense is a sense. It's felt in the body. Me, you know, when we go me, we go here to the chest area, right? We can also feel it in this the root of the belly, you know, there's the me, you know, that's more existential, like, you know. So pulling out the root is a process that takes time, and it's in the body. It's a mind thing too. It's interesting how many levels it lives in, a separate self sense. Okay. So but it's not a real entity. It's just a belief that has taken hold in the body, and it's been a necessary belief because it's what got us to function separate, you know, from our parents and from our environment. We don't bump into stuff, and, you know, we have a self sense.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is that with that self sense, one has made oneself into an object in awareness, not just as a self sense, you know, like obviously I have a dog right here, and she doesn't bump into stuff. So she has self sense enough, but she hasn't turned herself into an object in awareness and gotten all confused.
Yeah.
And that's a mind thing.
Yeah.
And the mind is what looks at itself and reflects, you know?
Yeah.
So it goes, so when you said sometimes that sense of identity comes in and sometimes not. Well, what's happening when the sense of identity comes in? Is it because there really is a separate self that exists within that resurrects? No.
No.
Right? Because if it's all one thing, there's no real... The self-sense is really an aspect of consciousness.
Yes.
So how to be with ourselves and feel sort of a self-sense without making ourselves into an object in awareness, which means separating, creating two within ourselves. And it has to do with when we reflect. So we're looking at ourselves, like we say something and we're being pretty seamless, you know, or whatever, or functioning, we feel pretty seamless. That's because that self-reflective mechanism of mind is kind of in abeyance in that moment. It's not activated. But when it gets activated, it looks at itself and goes, oh, I am saying something. I wonder if what I'm saying is making sense, how it's landing or whatever. Then that personal self starts to resurrect.
Oh, looking at itself like that, like looking at itself like its behavior and the way it's acting in the world and the way how it sounds, like the sound of its voice or something. Like if I hear the sound of my voice now, if I'm listening to the sound, but maybe saying something about it or something. Is that what you mean by yourself?
Yeah, I mean, it there's so many layers to this, but this is just one aspect to it, yes.
Yeah. It's one aspect. Sometimes I think of like self-reflection as, you know, when we were talking about curiosity as a, that's a kind of a type of self-reflection, isn't it? But that's different than what you're talking about.
Self-reflection, no matter how it's done, whether you're in an internal process, you know, and feeling into your feeling or whatever, that is the self-reflective mechanism of at work. And it's an amazing aspect of consciousness that as far as we know, animals don't have. They are not able to reflect on their feelings and going, oh, I feel afraid. They're just afraid.
Yeah.
You know, or they're just, you know, anxious, right? Or grieving. They do grieve, you know. So they're just grieving. But human beings can go, I am grieving and I'm going to process this grief and look into it, feel into it, and so on, right? So it's an amazing quality. It's an amazing ability.
Yeah.
It's consciousness being able to look at itself. Without it, we wouldn't be having this conversation in this way. So, but even that can fall away. Even that in the end falls away and functioning still takes place. But during that time of self-reflection, that's when we do usually do, if we're going to be doing a spiritual search, that's usually when we do it, because we're looking at ourselves going, is this separate self sense or this I or whatever, however people put it, is it real? I want to explore this, right? And we're going on this amazing journey of exploration.
So, I don't know. I find it hard to like imagine. I guess you can't imagine because it's not there, like, because it's coming from self-reflection. But I can't imagine reflection not happening, because it seems like such an inherent part of consciousness, or like of my experience, or the experience that's here of consciousness, to reflect. Although, of course, I have experienced moments, and I think we all do, where like reflection isn't happening. It's not like it's happening the whole time or something. It's not. Like, sometimes it's just, there's just experience, and it's just, I mean, I think for many people there's just experience. It's not like we're reflecting the whole day or something. So when you talk about like that sense of me dropping away, does that mean for you, does that mean that self-reflection doesn't happen, or that curiosity doesn't arise within consciousness anymore?
Well, curiosity can arise without self-reflection. So what I was describing earlier doesn't have to do with self-reflection. When you ask me what my theme is, where I'm looking, I said that it did. That, you know, growing in understanding about the nature of reality and being inclusive, it doesn't require self-reflection. So yeah, there's an ending to that self-reflective mechanism, and where functioning just takes place. And like you said, people throughout the day, we do it, we just are not aware of it, you know, like when you're driving sometimes, you know, you're driving along and then suddenly you get this little jolt, like, oh my God, I have not been paying attention, like consciously. And somehow my body and everything is just doing this thing, you know? So it's kind of like that. It's not unconscious. No, it's more like it doesn't need to look at itself in order to function. And it's kind of something that it's beyond it that usually takes place after waking up to who you are, after living in unity. It's something that happens to where one becomes more like the animal that doesn't reflect, but with all these capacities that have been gained over time. It's a bizarre place. It's not bizarre like bad, but just it's hard to explain, and it's not something to even aspire to. I don't.
That's what I was going to ask, like, because it doesn't seem to be like, it just either happens or it doesn't, like within somebody, but it doesn't seem to be like problematic. You know, like, I think identity can be problematic and is like problematic for us. Like, if we're identifying with something that comes up, like this anger is me, or this sadness, or this problem, it's like, it's mine to sort out and I need to control it and fix it, and like you're totally engaged in a very identified way, so that's not going to feel good. But self-reflection, I don't feel like it really has, I mean, I don't find it problematic, so I don't mind if it's there or not.
It's only interesting to those who are, you know, maybe curious, but you can't know something in any of these levels of understanding until it happens, right? Like what you just identification with states of consciousness as they arise, as if they are oneself, and to wake up out of that and realize, you know, these are just states, and what I am is so much more. And you get a taste of what you are and start living from that. You can't explain what that's really like.
No.
And then to live in unity and to grow in awareness of the fact that everything is that, and to keep gaining understanding about that, that's a whole journey. And mm-hmm. I think it's something that is what you know, that would be the birthright of a human being on the planet. If they wanted to realize, if someone really wants to realize what our fulfillment of our birthright is, that's what it is being in unity, being one with, knowing that, not being lost in separation, because it hurts, as you know.
Yeah.
It hurts to live in separation. And then it's not fulfilling in a certain level. We're always chasing people who, when we're lost in identification, we tend to chase that which always feels good, because we don't have a ground inside of the ultimate understanding of what we really are, that it's there regardless of what is happening during our day. Because if we don't know that, we're just chasing we're always unfulfilled and trying to chase the next good moment, you know?
Yeah.
That's a much more important piece, you know, to understand and gain understanding through meditation and whatever, prayer, whatever. And to remember ourselves, that's the fundamental, most important piece. And then from there, life takes the reins and then keeps pushing the evolution of what's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes when we hear somebody speaking like that, like that, okay, this happened, or we can see that when someone is sharing like that, like, okay, there's no separation here. They might say something like that. There's no separation. But then like we hear and we're like, well, that's not my experience. So then we tend to compare ourselves to others. And I don't feel like that's helpful for anybody. So I feel like, I don't know, I just want to say that and reflect that, like, out that, like, to just be where we are. And I don't know, just like, if, you know, you said like that separation, it's not just a mind thing, it lives in the body as well. And this is what I was talking about with my friend earlier as well. He was saying that like separation lives in the body, but it's possible that there can be no separation felt experientially. And I was saying, yeah, like it probably is, but like, I don't think that's like the most important thing. I don't think that should be like, don't think we should hold it as a goal. Like, it might happen within life or something, but if it doesn't happen, then like it doesn't matter. It's more about how we're approaching that feeling of separation or something.
Well, yes, I see what you're saying.
If that's even a possible thing, I don't know. Like, some people do share like that like there's no sense of separation within this experience, like felt experience.
That's actually true.
That's possible. Yeah.
We're drawn to do what we do. You know, if it's not a mind thing that's driving, as if, you know, a goal, in terms of some model of perfection where we're not living our life as right now, you know. But if we have this, the impulse to be free is runs really deep, and it keeps pushing that for that freedom. And it's really coming from a real place. That feeling of separation in the body is your roadmap. It is a big bell inside that's ringing and say, pay attention here. This separation is not what's wrong. It's just lean into it. It's a feeling, you can sense it, and it feels out of harmony. Why would you even feel it? Well, because it's out of harmony. You know, it's a vibration within the body that is out of harmony, because once the feeling of separation ends and it returns back to where it came from, there's a state of harmony. There's no more sense of separation. And that's maybe what some of the people you're talking about can say. I don't feel separation anymore inside. Well, how do they know that? Well, it's a vibration inside that has been returned back. But as long as it's there, it's our teacher.
Yeah.
We still live our lives and everything, but you got to be honest with yourself and let that teacher teach you. It's like, oh, I still sense it. I'm not going to make it wrong or make a big story about it, but I sense it. And when you sense something, the best thing to do is put your attention on it and let it do its thing, which is let it vibrate. Let it be there with your awareness attached to it. So your attention is the power.
Mm.
And so you don't let yourself pretend it's not important. So you put your attention on it and without trying to manipulate it. Make it go away or anything. Make it wrong. No story. So you just let it vibrate and you go, okay, mama's here, you know? Mama's here, sitting here with this, papa's here, whoever's listening to this, sitting here with this part inside that is confused, basically. And you let it sing its song, you know, whatever, and let it however long. In meditation, when you take a walk, when you wash the dishes, if it draws you, you just stay with it and you will see something really magical happen. And then you're including it, you see? Then you include it. You're not saying this doesn't matter or this will never change or it's, you know, you just open to it and go, oh my goodness, here it is. It's been here for a long time. It's not going to stay forever.
I feel like there's such a temptation within us to kind of like want to know something. You know, so when you're talking like that and we're looking like that and being in our kind of, let's say, open, loving nature that meets everything that comes, like there's such a tendency to want to know or to be able to say something about it, like to like grasp onto something or like hold onto something. This kind of nature, like.
Yeah, because for some reason, we've been and trained, we've been taught to move away from anything that seems uncomfortable. So we'd rather turn it into and make words up. That's my ego. That's the separate self versus let's go down to the essence, the vibration of something.
I'm laughing because I was just about to say something like
that. You're gonna say no.
No, I was just about to say something like that. Like it feels like just that sense of like trying to grasp onto something, like I would call that, that's like the sense of a me, you know, that wants to be able to know something. Whereas like when you're just kind of, even though this is just, it's the same thing, it's like another, it's like something is trying to say like this is what it is, but really like it's just like I feel like life wants to just let go of everything, isn't it? But yet we still want to keep talking about it all the time. Which is not bad. I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's, there's something so enjoyable in that.
Yeah, we put things in time. We put our own evolution in time. Like I'm going to put it in time and turn it into a thing and make this a problem or an issue, or maybe someday it'll go away or not, rather than just be a real yogi or yogini and go for it. Just enter into like, where does this live? What is going on here energetically?
So last thing that is coming now is, if you could kind of just experience yourself, which you can, of course, you just like here, and if you were able to share like your, I don't know how to put it, but maybe like share your heart or something like that, or your Like, is there a way or something that will come out of you? I know that's what you've been doing the whole time, but like, this is just what's coming out. If you were able to like share your heart with anyone who's here.
Yeah. So. Oh, well, I love your invitation. My heart just wishes for those who are interested in exploring to perhaps view this whole journey in a more natural and simplistic way. Mm. And to make it less complicated. It asks a lot of us, but it's not asking us to make it complicated. What it's asking, what the, you know, nature of reality is asking for each person who's interested is to bring courage and sincerity to wanting to come back home and to maybe put down the roadblocks, which is making something complicated, and instead be more willing maybe to go to the heart of the matter and use yourself, your body, your what you contain as your teacher versus using you know, complicated stories or teachings that may be really true, but what the mind does is makes it, you know, makes things, puts up roadblocks. And I think it's a part of it is in order to slow down the journey home, thinking that one is not quite ready. So we'll intellectualize truth versus, you know, be more like a homing pigeon that is going home, and, you know, not stopping at the different, you know, movie theaters along the way, but just go home. And when we, but part of it too is hearing good teachings that that point that way is super important. So maybe sort of kind of come to a place inside, like what it, ask oneself, what do I really want? Do I want to take a really long journey home? And there's no right or wrong. There's really no right or wrong. There's no bad way or good way. Or do I want to really know myself and be courageous and let myself feel vulnerable along the way? Drop spiritual identity so that, you know, get humbled. You know, a lot of it is being humbled. Do I really want to know myself? What do I want to be one with nature? And do I want to be as simple as a tree? Do I want to be as simple as a tree? Simple as a little flower?
That's very beautiful.
And if we want that, we tend to get what we want.
Making me cry now.
Yeah, so you know for yourself if you're who you are. We can't lie to ourselves. Yeah. And then one last thing is that just as we are right now, we're it, you know, we're that. It's not just a journey in time that will be more that. So yeah. However we're feeling right now and whatever we're containing, it does include, you know, our being. Our being is here.
Yeah.
Feeling and sensing and whatever, what's going on, you know, not just a purification process and also an opening to ourselves as we are.
Yeah. It's like, I think Ajahn Shanti says, you know, being and becoming, like, at the same time.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Always becoming.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing.
Oh, my pleasure. It's lovely being with you.
Lovely to meet you. Yeah, lovely to meet you. Thank you so much. Now, I wish you a beautiful day, and I'm very grateful for you giving up your time to have this meeting. And I hope that anybody who listens to it kind of resonates in their heart and maybe finds some clarity or ease or simplicity, like you said.
That's my wish too. Thank you for offering this.
Yeah, thank you.